Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. You say, Pastor, you finished talking to us about building a godly life back at the end of May. And I did. Isn't that amazing? But I didn't get to tell you the rest of the story. I'm going to tell you the rest of the story tonight. And so we're going to go here, if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, 1 Timothy chapter 4. And don't worry, you say, I can't remember anything you said 2 months ago. That's okay, I can't either. So that's why I wrote it down. And we're going to talk about, I'll give you a little review, and then we'll finish up the rest of the story here about building a godly life. Here it says, I'll read you, you follow along silently, beginning in verse 6, 1 Timothy and chapter 4. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, and continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Ungodliness in this world. And you may think about this word while we go through the introduction tonight. But the word ungodly simply means wicked. You say, yep, I knew that. Ungodly, that's wicked. Ungodly is impious. Okay? In other words, no regard for God, right? Just not praying, not retaining, not reverencing God, not fearing God. Impious. Neglecting the fear and worship of God, or violating His commands. You say, yep, that's ungodly. People that violate God's commands, those people are ungodly. That's who it is. Webster further defines ungodly as sinful. You say, well, I wasn't in the first category. I wasn't wicked and impious and neglecting the fear and worship of God, or blatantly violating His commands, but as we move along here in the definition of ungodly, I don't know. Sinful. Contrary to the divine commands of God. Are we ever contrary to God's commands? Sometimes. How about this? A third definition for the word ungodly: polluted by wickedness. You see, on the onset of the word ungodly, I mean, we're just hit with it. Wicked. Nope, not us. We're Christians. We're members of Lighthouse Baptist Church. We're the good guys. Right? We're good. We're here on a Wednesday night, in the middle of the week, at church. There's no way we could be labeled as wicked, right? There's no way we could be labeled as impious or neglecting the fear and worship of God. Pastor, we're here. All I'm trying to say tonight is, while we're building godliness in our lives, we need to beware of ungodliness. Now, most of the time when we read through Scripture, we're talking about wicked, lost, degenerate, heathen people, right? When we talk about the ungodly,
They shall perish, right? We're going to go through and we're going to see the fate of the ungodly tonight. But I was studying this out and I'm like, you know what? We don't need to just focus on those that are without God and without Christ and such and so forth and label them as ungodly. We too can exhibit characteristics of ungodliness in our lives. Being sinful, being contrary to the divine commands of God, being polluted by wickedness. Hey, we have to walk around in this dirty world. What's going to happen sometimes as we walk around in this dirty world? We're going to get dirty. Okay? That's what's going to happen. What do we have to do? Wash it off. How do we do that? Yeah. So, if we don't, what can be the problem? What can be the negative results of that? Becoming ungodly instead of becoming godly like we should. So this is the warning. We've talked about the exercise. We've talked about the building. We've talked about the different things, the wholesome words, the nutrition that we need, the doctrinal words, the holy words of God, the word of God in our lives to be able to be the building blocks of the things as we exercise our faith, as we exercise godliness, and we know that godliness is profitable. Paul told Timothy, it's profitable to all things. And that's what we need to remember, that this is profitable. So guess what ungodliness is? Unprofitable. And listen, as we exhibit godliness in our lives, as he told Timothy, he said, hey, that thy profiting may appear to all. He said, I want your godliness to show up to everybody. You know, as you get in the gym and begin to lift weights, guess what? Your physique tends to show that you've been putting the work in. Okay? Mine should tell you something. That I don't put the work in. Okay? but listen, this is what we need. Our lives should show others that we're putting the work in. That we're exercising our godliness. That we're servant living. We're righteous living. We're content with God. We are sincerely living for Him. We are building up in our lives the things that are relevant to godliness and irrelevant to ungodliness. Not the other way around. You see, we're supposed to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is what? Not in him. You see, you can't dabble in the world and expect to be this godly example. Because this ungodliness is going to conflict with the godliness. It's going to be two different things. Think about the whole idea that we've been talking about with this weightlifting and exercising and building muscles, etc. In order to be successful at that, can you dabble in other things? No, you've got to be sold out to it. If you're really going to be successful, you really can't, like, you know, hit the donuts and the weights. Okay? You got to cut some things out. All right? You can't have too many cheat days, because it just doesn't work that way. Okay? And so, we've got to understand this thing. So take your Bibles and turn over to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. I've been through this psalm with you before. But this tells us about the ungodly. It's interesting to me as they collated these psalms. Now you do know that as the psalms was these were copied out by Hezekiah and his the scribes and all those people there. But you understand that what David wrote here, this ended up being the first psalm. As we open the book of Psalms, If you will, I know that Proverbs is a book of wisdom, but I think Psalms is a book of wisdom as well. You understand that as we look at the Psalms, this first Psalm steps right out at us. So look at it. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. This is the first thing in all of these Psalms, these 150 Psalms, as these were copied out. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Do you think that this is important? Do you think that building godliness is important? Yes. But being aware of ungodliness is just as important. Because let me tell you something. Ungodliness will creep into your life more subtly than any other thing. Bit by bit by bit by bit. And pretty soon, you might could be labeled as wicked. You might be labeled as impious. You might be able to be labeled as neglecting the fear and worship of God or violating His commands. How many of you have or have had a yearbook? Huh? You ever look at those things? Oh, I tell you what. I don't even want to look at my high school yearbooks. For several reasons. But let me tell you something about your pastor. I'll tell on myself a little bit here. I grew up in a Christian home. I was saved when I was 8 years old. I went to church, went to Sunday school, went to summer camps, was a part of a youth group, etc., etc., etc. Now, it wasn't this kind of church, but it was a church. It was a Christian family. Okay? As I got into high school, junior high, pretty much stayed course. But as I wanted to be more popular and more noticed, which is common for young people, I began to change. Because in public school, what mostly do you find? Lost kids. I was a Christian. But I didn't act like a Christian. And you know what? My behavior slowly began to change over time. And pretty soon I was doing things that could be described as wicked. I began to do things that could be described as impious. You said, but you were saved. You went to church on Sunday, and you went to summer camps and things. Yeah, but by the time I was a junior and senior in high school, I wasn't a very nice kid at all. I wasn't a good Christian at all. Why? Because I allowed ungodliness to creep into my life, bit by bit by bit. Now, thank God, being a part of the military took me away from all of that and put me right where God wanted me, in the right kind of church, doing the right kind of things. But can I tell you something? It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Folks, we're around it all the time. But we don't have to walk in it. We don't have to walk in their counsel. We don't have to listen to those voices. We don't have to go down that path of the ungodly. David continues and says, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. All those things talk about remaining exposed to those things. Think about that. It says here, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That doesn't mean that it's not going to come across your path. But you don't have to walk down that path with the ungodly. That's continued exposure to ungodliness. What's that going to yield? Ungodliness. He says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Does that mean that sinners are not going to come across your path? But you don't have to stand there and participate in their sin. Continued exposure is going to do what? Make you ungodly. Nor, he says, sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Does that mean that scornful people are not going to come across your path? No, but you don't have to sit down and be exposed to them for a length of time. So you understand, this is what God says first off here in the book of Psalms. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. So where are we supposed to walk and stand and sit? In the Word of God. Okay? I guess you can use your Bible as a booster to get you higher up at the table. That's not what it means literally, obviously, right? No, but we need to be in this book. And he of course explains that. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. So what is that? That's the building of godliness. What is the first verse? That's being aware of ungodliness. And not allowing it to affect you in your lives. Listen, God doesn't want us to be a monk somewhere with our hands in our sleeves walking up and down some hallway chanting. Okay? Away from all the perils and dangers and pitfalls of life. That's not what we're supposed to be out here. We're supposed to be out having a job or being amongst people or preaching the gospel or being a testimony and being a witness. And listen, we're going to experience some of the things in this world, but you don't have to let them affect you. Because we're supposed to be building godliness, not allowing ungodliness to tear down our godliness. We have to stay true to the Word of God. It says in verse 3 that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So there's the positive, and we've heard messages and messages and messages on this subject, right? And again, I'm not going to be re-preaching the building godliness portion of this message. It's good to be godly. It's profitable to be godly. You'll bring forth fruit. Your leaf shall not wither. And whatever you do, there's that word, you're going to prosper. It's profitable. Prosperous to be godly and to build godliness. So, here's the warning tonight. Look at verse 4. The ungodly are not so. Now, this is very simple. Let's call it bottom shelf. Okay? Because if we call it bottom shelf, then the next 3 minutes will go by quickly. Okay? If we try to reach the top shelf, we might fall off and go another 15 minutes. We'll see. Can you tell I haven't really preached in a week? Y'all, I don't have any plans tonight, do you? Okay, good. Now, it says here, the ungodly are not so. What does that mean? What do you mean they're not so? They're not going to be prosperous. They're not going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. They're not going to bring forth their fruit in their season. Their leaves are going to wither. They're not going to be like the godly. And let me tell you, Christian, if you let ungodliness creep into your life, you're not going to be like the godly. And I'm sorry, you can't have it both ways. You can't. It is impossible to be godly and ungodly. choose being godly. Why? Because it's prosperous. Because it's good. Because it's pleasing to the Lord. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. You know what chaff is? It's the useless part of the seed. It's the dried up, worn out seed coat. It's gone. Blows away. Worthless. What's worth something? The seed is. Not the chaff. He says the ungodly are worthless. You know what? How much value does an ungodly Christian have to God? Think about it. Does God love us? Yes. Does he want us to succeed? Yes. Does he want us to be that kernel of grain that's valuable and profitable and life-sustaining, etc., etc., etc.? Absolutely. But he's not the one choosing whether we're godly or ungodly. We are. And over in Scripture, it talks about how we live our lives and how that affects our relationship with God. Now, we're going to get to 1 John in just a little bit. But let me tell you something. There comes a time in a human being's life where if we continue to choose ungodliness, God may just go, and blow us away. You say, how is that? You know what it talks about in the Bible? There are things that can affect the length of our life. And living an ungodly life is one of those things. Now, I'm not saying that that's always the case. Because I know some people, if you will, in our words, in our minds, that were in the prime of their life serving God, they're very godly people that passed away unexpectedly. Okay, I'm not labeling everything. I'm just telling you the possibilities. He says, they're like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. Look at verse 5. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You understand that I am using this to not talk about lost people. I'm using it to talk about those of us who are trying to build godliness in our lives as believers in Christ. As a warning not to allow ungodliness to creep into our lives and destroy what God wants to do in our lives. The ungodly shall perish. So just a few things. First of all, the ungodly shall not prosper. Okay? We've talked about exercising, right? Being healthy for the Lord and being godly and exhibiting the doctrine and the things of Scripture and the holy and pleasing, acceptable life unto God. And being that kind of a testimony, we as Christians consider that prosperous. That is the definition of success. Not how much money you have in your wallet, not what kind of car you drive, or not what kind of house you have, or not what kind of career. That's not how we measure success. But we measure success by God's standards, and God says godliness is success. Godliness is prosperous. Godliness is profitable unto all things. That's what's profitable. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. If you're exhibiting those things, if you're living a holy life that's pleasing and acceptable to God, that's your reasonable service, hey, that's where it's at. You're on the top of the mountain. That's what we ought to be looking for. It says here that the ungodly shall not prosper. In Job 21, it says, how oft is the candle of the wicked put out? And how oft cometh their destruction upon them? God distributeth sorrows in his anger. They are as stubble before the wind, and as chaff before the storm, and as chaff that the storm carrieth away. They shall not prosper. You can't plant chaff and grow a new plant. But you can plant a seed and grow a new plant. When that new plant grows, that's considered prosperous. My son Ian has decided to play farmer this year. And did you notice, Brother Dart, that he's got some ears on his corn? He's got some little tiny corn plants. They didn't grow up really tall. They're kind of short, like his brother Oliver. And I don't know why that came to mind. Huh? You're only 2.5 inches shorter? Okay. He knows this for some reason. But anyways, you know what that corn is being prosperous, right? It's producing. Hey, can I ask you a question? Can we be ungodly and produce the kind of fruit that God wants us to produce? No. There's a little part of a verse that sticks in my head. By their fruit ye shall know them. In Psalm 73, David writes and says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You notice what David set the table here. He set the idea that, hey, this is, I'm not talking about the same kind of prosperity. There's God's prosperity, and there's the world's prosperity. It may be the same word, prosperity, but two different definitions. He said, I slipped. My steps, my feet were almost gone. For I'd become envious. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He said, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, and violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt, and they speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens. Their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters as a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long I have been plagued, and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. David said, I thought all these things, and I had this quandary within myself, until I went to church. Folks, we can look around at the world and see that, oh, God, why are you allowing all these people to have millions of dollars and nice cars and nice houses, and they're ungodly and they're wicked, and they're that first definition of impious and neglecting the fear and worship of God, blatantly violating his commands. They're ungodly. But yet they have all the money. They have all the fame. They have all the power. They have all the good things of life. Then we come to church. And we see that's not the case. David said this. I lost my spot. There it is. I got to find my spot again. Oh, the speak, behold, defend against generation children. There it is. I read that already. Surely thou hast set them in slippery places. Oh, there it is. I found it. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. See, that's the difference. The end of the ungodly is destruction. Surely thou hast set them in a slippery place. And in slippery places, thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream, when one awaketh. So, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee, but it is good for me to draw near to God. What does that remind you of? Drawing near to God. Godliness. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Folks, we get confused because we see what's going around in the world. And sometimes we get a little bit jealous. Why? Because we're but flesh. You know what that is? That's ungodliness knocking at the door, saying, let me in. If you let me in, you can have all those things. You don't have to build godliness. What's that godliness doing for you? You have no money. What's that godliness doing for you? You don't have a retirement account. What's that godliness doing for you? You live in a broken down house that's too small. Well, what's that godliness doing for you? You drive an old car. It's 20 years old. I can fix that for you. Just let me in. We got to say no. Because that's not the kind of prosperity that we're looking for. We're looking for the prosperity that God offers. You know why? Because it's something that won't fade away. Moth and rust cannot corrupt it. Thieves cannot break through and steal. It's a treasure laid up in heaven. And that's what matters. They shall not prosper. They shall not stand. It tells us here in Psalm 1. And lastly, the ungodly shall be punished and they shall perish. We read that in Psalm 73. Now turn over to 1 John chapter 1. We're going to close here tonight. Beware of ungodliness. It can creep in at a moment's notice. Even when you're working out, even when you're exercising your godliness, you have to be aware of the ungodliness. You cannot just be blind to it. You cannot just say, it won't happen to me, because guess what will? It will happen to you. Here in 1 John, you know these verses. If we start at verse 6, if we start at verse 5, you understand this about godliness and ungodliness. He says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So as we're exercising godliness, what are we doing? We're conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. We're putting into our lives the elements that are going to make us look like Jesus. Right? That's what we want, isn't it? And in Him is no darkness at all. So what does that mean we have to say no to? The ungodliness. He says that if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I tried weightlifting for a little while as a young man. It just wasn't for me. I'd rather lift a coffee cup and a donut. That's the only kind of weightlifting I like. But can I tell you something? If we're going to be serious about this godliness thing, we've got to be dedicated to it. We cannot deceive ourselves. As we're exercising godliness and we're building godliness in our lives, we've got to be honest and not allow the darkness, the sin, the ungodliness to creep into our lives. And you know what that is? That's a constant battle. You say, is that even possible? Yes. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. You know, there's a guy named Job who feared God. He was a righteous man, and he did what? He eschewed evil. I've told you before, and I don't know if you've taken me up on this challenge. I'm sure Brother Losey has. That is a great old word. He's every morning he sprayed on his sin repellent. Okay? And it was strong. It pushed away the evil. Do you in your life push away evil? Or do you kind of let it come sit on your front porch? And then you let it kind of come up to your front door. And then you let it in the foyer. Neither give place to the devil. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You know what, Christians, from time to time, we allow ungodliness in our lives. And you know what it does? It degrades our godliness. It takes away from what we're building. You know that as weightlifters, they go through times where they're on track and they're building, but then they do something, they alter their program, or they have a cheat day. Guess what that does? Sets them back. We've got to understand that these things can happen to the Christian. Can a Christian be ungodly? Oh, yes. It's called backsliding. It's called getting away from God. It's called being a carnal Christian. But can we do anything about it? Yes, we can. We can walk around in this world and get dirty. Is that a good thing? No. Should we frustrate the grace of God? No. But if we do, a righteous man falleth and... that's the key. And so is verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That verse tells us that God wants us to build godliness. So bad, He's willing to clean us up and help us to start over again. To start anew and afresh. And He'll continue to clean us up because He knows that we're going to answer the door. He knows that we're going to fall into sin. He knows that we're going to be deceived by the devil. He knows that we're going to have those stumbling blocks in our lives. And He's willing to wash us up and clean us up and get us back on the training program to build godliness in our lives once again. Now, the less times that you can go through that process, the better. It's best just to stay on course. It's best just to continue to build godliness in your life day by day. Not answering the door of ungodliness. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of scornful. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Stay true to the Word of God. Stay true to the things that will nourish you and build godliness in your daily life. Beware of ungodliness.